Good morning. Wow. I've been ministered to this morning. God is here. His spirit is moving. And I just appreciate the worship this morning. Just the songs that we sang, just the truth that we sang about. And so I would just like to continue in that. And I pray that I'm going to, share some life details, that it wouldn't distract us from the truth, but it would actually point towards that. I was asked to share my life story, and I'm excited to do that. I probably won't go into detail on the things I was in, maybe just touch a little bit on different phases in my life, but hopefully you can kind of imagine along with me as I share just the different stages of my life. And this is for the honor and glory of God. And I also want to acknowledge my parents, just honor them this morning. I feel I was blessed with wonderful parents, definitely not perfect. And, the teachings that I got maybe wasn't just really deep, but I think, oftentimes it's still the best that they know, and it's hard to teach if you never learn yourself. Regardless, I believe each one of us has a responsibility to dig into the Word of God personally, and because in Hosea 4, it talks about that for the lack of knowledge were my people destroyed. So I believe that puts a responsibility, on us to personally seek God, not rely on the teachings that we got necessarily, but, look at the Word of God ourselves. So I was born September 6, 1997. And you could say, from what I know, I don't remember much before this incident in my life, which was at age 7 or 8, but my parents would tell me that I was just calm, very obedient, just not much fuss, didn't talk much, and was always very obedient up until that point, which the one time at church, I think I was 7 or 8, I fell down the hay hole, and I hit my head on the way down and, was unconscious, and they rushed me into the hospital, and then from there they flew me into Hershey, and mama, she told me already that she saw something from before that incident till after. I got hyper and just hard to stay sitting and just things like that. So it was interesting to me that, I wasn't always impulsive and things like that. That was actually a calm. But regardless, I believe God used that. But it was interesting. Right over that time, so my parents had their share of hospital stays already, and Alan, my older brother, was being released at the time when I flew in, and Dad didn't have a cell phone, but a nurse came and told him as they were going out the door that I'm being transported in, so they went out to the helipad there right as I was landing and watched me go in. So, Dad's had some pretty challenging times right from the beginning there. Through my school years, definitely not hardly anything good that I would remember of. Just bad influences. And I grew up in Burden Hand. It was, maybe a little bit more, just not the best influence as far as the children, our school children and things like that. Back then I wanted to, I guess I was controlled by my peers. And but one day that I remember specifically that was a turning point in my life for the wrong was the one time a group of us schoolboys were walking along the road and a trucker came down the road and he threw a magazine out, right in front of us, just flipped it out his window. And it was a magazine on pornography. I was maybe, 10, 11 at the time. And What I didn't do was I didn't go tell my parents. Immediately I was convicted, you know, I was young and I didn't know what to do with this. There was a few of us boys, but I hid it. And I felt like that was a time when you could say a demon entered into my life at a very young age. I was exposed and I didn't take care of it. I didn't tell anybody. It was just, you know, just stashed away in the secret. And through that, it led down a road of just utter darkness for the next few years. So I started working on a farm at the age of 11 to 14. I'd go to school through the day and then scoot 2 miles to the farm and work there until 8 o'clock at night and come home. And I did not like the job, so through that, I just turned rebellious and, just not happy with my life, to the point where I would have told my parents that, you know, if things don't change, that you know, I'd be considered suicide, which I didn't really recognize the depth of. I just knew that suicide is something that is a way to end pain, so to speak. But I don't really know, you know, how much I thought about it. But anyway, at the age of 16, I joined the Eagle Youth. And interesting, it was Eagle's South A1. So by that time, they had split many times. So I was Eagle's South A1. So when people ask me where I ran around, I usually just say Eagles, because you go down that road there, it's just, but, and I would say I was influenced good there. By the age of 17, we had a semi-annual meeting, and I still remember the exact speaker, exactly where I was sitting. By that time, I was very addicted to immorality. I actually was more involved in that before I was 16 than after. And at 17, it was at our semi-annual meeting. The one guy was, he just really preached straight, so to speak. He didn't beat around the bush or, I mean, he just brought it out, completely brought it out, and I was convicted. But yet, a plan of salvation was not given. So what I did is, I put my smartphone aside and I got a flip phone. I made a dedication, I'm going to get a flip phone without internet. And that's what I had all my runaround years from that point on until last year. So it was a way to, you could say, lessen it, but definitely not a way to relieve it. But I had to think already of Matthew 5, where it says that if your hand offends thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. You know, it was still a vital step in becoming, you know, free indeed. At the age 18 and a half, I pursued membership at the Amish church, and, you know, like I would say, it wasn't deep. There was things that I wasn't, so I wanted a change of life. That was why I pursued it, and also I wanted to start dating, because I thought that would be a way of changing my life, would be, you know, getting a girlfriend and considering getting married. But I still didn't know how or what would bring that. It was just, you know, I was encouraged to start joining up, so to speak, so I did. And church was at our house at the day, actually, and two of my siblings were becoming members as well, and both our grandparents were there. And I did get a little teary-eyed, I remember, when I was on my knees, not because of the service or anything, but I was on my knees, and I, like, you know, glanced back out of the corner of my eye, and I see my grandparents, and I seen they were, you know, teary-eyed, emotional. And through that, you know, I guess I recognized the love that they had, and it, you know, it brought some tears. But as far as change of life, it didn't bring any of that. I wasn't born again. I hadn't given my life to the Lord. It was just a workspace thing that I walked through. And now, you know, even in the Amish church, when I see someone pursuing that, God gave me a burden to just, you know, ask him, you know, did you give your life to the Lord? You know, and I would still feel that baptism, you know, biblical baptism would still be by immersion, regardless if someone, you know, yeah. So, you know, like my siblings, like my sister's becoming a member today. in Perry County, so we plan to go out there afterwards. But yeah, just a question that God laid on my heart usually to ask him. And I would say with all my siblings, you know, it was always yes, that they have given their life to the Lord. At 19, I asked Joanna, and we had one date and broke up for 7 months. And in that time, definitely a milestone in my life, thoughts went through my mind like, you know, what if I never get married? What if I remain single? What if, you know, what if no one wants me? And probably most of that was because I was living in condemnation. I still wasn't clean from addiction. I wasn't clean from drinking and things like that. And I recognize the need to clean my life up, but yet without knowledge. Still, at that point, I did not know that it was simply by faith in receiving Christ into your heart. At the age of 20, so 7 months later, we got back together and we started dating again and got engaged. And at age 20, her brother Omar introduced me to prison ministry, and he just gave me the, how would you say it, like the sign-up sheet, so to speak, and I knew that John Allen was going, John Allen Lapp, so I contacted him and told him that I plan to go. I wonder if I can go into his prison, and he said, yeah, and that was just really, it was just really a good trip, and, you know, of course, this was all new to me, so he picked me up, and we had a prayer before we left. I think there was four of us guys, and, you know, the prayer was something like, you know, going into enemy territory and tearing down strongholds and, you know, in the name of Jesus. And I was like, whoa, like, I had never heard anything that with that strength or whatever. But we went, it was a whole way out in Rockview. So we went a whole way out to the orientation. And at the orientation, you know, again, it was all new to me, and there was so many people there. It was 450 people or so. But then Amy was up there preaching, and he just clearly preached the salvation message. And he said, we don't dare think about going into enemy territory and have things that are from the enemy in our own life. We don't dare do that. And then he said, you know, to those that are not walking in godliness, I ask you to come forward. And he gave an invitation call, and, you know, some of you maybe heard this already, but at that time, I wasn't going to go. I remember standing up there in the pew, and I just, you know, set in my heart that, nope, you know, there's no way I'm going to go up there. And that was all until I saw someone that I knew from my running around years. He slipped past me, and I cracked my eye open, and I watched him. And it was someone that I knew, and that gave me the courage to step out as well. And I walked up there and fell to the altar there, and I gave my life to the Lord. That was when I just opened my heart, gave my life to the Lord. And I felt that God gave me a gift at that time. So people came up and prayed, and I felt these hands on my shoulder, and I heard this voice praying, a man that I didn't know. But immediately I got an image of who it was. And that got confirmed after the prayer was all done and the tears were dried. I got up and looked around, and it was exactly who God had given me a vision of who it was. And we're still great friends to this day. Just this summer I met him, and we still talked about that time. He still remembers it. It was a blessing. It was really a blessing. I guess I felt God just confirmed his love towards me by giving that. So that was my experience of giving my life to the Lord. And then the next day we went into prison, and just really a stretch again. Joe Hushstetler was our evangelist there, and he really just really discipled me in that time. And he's pretty radical for those of you that know him. I was actually just with him on a prison crusade in Florida this past winter. But anyway, it was really a milestone. But the first time that, that I recognized or comprehended the grace of God and his salvation was, I was sitting in the prison chapel beside another inmate, and the singing team started singing "Yes, I Know," which is that "Come, you sinners, poor and lonely, Jesus' blood can make you free." And I remember sitting there, and the song was being sung, and I just started weeping and just sobbing. And it was the first time, and this was about 24 hours after I gave my life to the Lord, was when I truly recognized the grace of God, the grace and the salvation, just that there's just no other way to the Father. There's just no other way to heaven except alone through Jesus. And how, you know, all these good works or whatever that we do is still considered filthy rags on our own. I just saw just that state. And do we know that song well enough where we could sing it? Let's sing it right now. I think it's page 155 in the Symphony of Praise. So yeah, that song is still just special to me. I think it takes me back to that time about every time. And just, it's just a milestone in my life. I just look back to that and just that recognition of God's grace. So then after we came back from prison, life went on and... But I noticed a change. I was hungry for the Word of God, and I wasn't only hungry, but I dug into the Word of God, and I also noticed that I was completely free from immorality. I was completely free, 100% free, and I have stayed free by the grace of God. But one thing I want to look back on is it gave me such a hunger for the Word of God that I dug in into the end. Just something I learned through that is if you read the Word of God, it builds up faith. And men of faith become faithful men. And it's just, I want to encourage that. Men of faith become faithful men. As we work, as we, you know, there's all these programs and that's good. But simply coming and building our faith makes us faithful, I believe. And so then, you know, we had our connection, and so we started going on monthly prayer drives. It was Aaron Lapp, myself, Elmer Lapp, John Allen, and my brother-in-law Omar. It was us five. We'd go bi-weekly or at least every month into Coatesville. It was usually from 4 to 6, and we just drive around Coatesville, and sometimes we went up like high places like Welsh Mountain, things like that. So we did that, you know, up until this day. We're still meeting in homes. We haven't been going out on prayer drives lately, but that was where that was birthed out of. And 3 years ago, on a September morning, God had revealed to me the importance of becoming baptized, of sealing my faith in the Lord. And so, and this was with the men in the prayer group. We came back, and we were driving over a creek, the creek that's on our road, and I just remember just looking at the water and just recognizing God's Spirit speaking to me that you need to be baptized, that you know, this is something that you need for, you know, for the ministry. It's a public declaration that needs to take place. And so I did, you know, maybe a little sooner than what some people would. I didn't even wake my wife up, but we got back to our house, and I asked him, so what would hinder me from becoming baptized right now? I shared what God had spoken to me. Then I just remember John Allen was like, if you believe in the Son of Jesus, or in the Son of God as Jesus, that he died and resurrected, and he took your sins, then nothing is hindering you. And I said, I believe. So we went back to the creek there and was baptized. And I would say another gift was given at that time. I just remember rising up out of the water. So I was under the water and just recognizing as I was under the water that kept me under. Like, it wasn't just this dip thing. It was like, you know, down about 3 seconds and then up. And as I was under the water, I remember clearly thinking that all the other garbage that's still clinging to me, it wasn't immorality at that point anymore. It was frustration and anger and things like that were still clinging to me. I remember thinking that they're all being released and they're washing downstream. And then I rose again. And as I rose up out of the water, it was like just a heavenly light. It might have been the sun. I'm not sure. But either way, my eyes were closed as I came out, and I just remember just the brightness. And I started just praising God. Just out loud, just praising God, and the next thing I knew, I was just speaking in tongues. It was like just a prayer language just rose up out of me as I was worshiping the Lord in that time, and I've been thankful for that. Again, I feel it was just a milestone in my journey of faith. Through that particular event, we were challenged at church, the older church, and then we walked through a 2-year process. Until we were eventually removed, and you know, that's when we started coming here, and we're so, just looking back, I don't think I would change anything. Just the you know what we learned through that, and where we're at today, we just feel really blessed. So and it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God, and our desire is to be found faithful. My desire as a father is to just courageously lead my family to have a responsibility, to have a relationship with my children, with my family, and to be found faithful, you know, most of all. And back to what I said, is to immerse myself in the Word of God, to build my faith up so that I can continue to be found faithful for the glory of God.